Okay, today's daf is Menachos Daf Zayin. We left off on Daf Vavim Beis. We're a little bit behind on Daf Vavim Beis. We are all the way back up the page at V'neilaf Mi Bama. The first word online is Kahuna, about 15-20 lines up the page. So we were in the middle of discussing the Gemara. Rav had suggested what seemed like a Chiddush, that Zar Shekamat Yachzir, that if a Zar does the Kemitza, put it back and do the Kemitza over again, and you get a do-over. So the Gemara raised the question, what do you mean you get a do-over? Over. If you're saying within the sheet of the Rabbanon hold you don't get a do-over. And if you're saying within the sheet of Ben Becerra already says Beferish in the Mishnah that you get a do-over. What's the Chiddush that Rav is teaching that you get a do-over if you do a Kemitza Bipsul? So the Gemara is going to have three suggestions of what the Chiddush of Rav is within Ben Becerra. So we're in the middle of discussing one of those suggestions. Then the Gemara is going to discuss three different possibilities of why the Kemitza does not become Kadosh B'Kli when you return it back to the original kli, meaning normally if you take a kemitza, then put it in a kli shardis, it becomes kadosh as a kemitza. So how can you get a do-over? You have to put it back in the original kli. The original kli is a kli shardis. Shouldn't that be mekadesh? So the Gemara is going to have three possible answers. And along the way, while discussing that, we're going to have an interesting fact about the relationship between Avimi and Rav Chista. Who is the Rebbe? Who is the Talmud? Can we prove it from a variety of interactions? Then the Gemara is going to discuss whether a kli sharis has the ability to be mekadesh when the kli is munach al gabe karka, and that's going to be a significant sugya in today's daf. If the kli is sitting on the ground and a kohen is not holding it, does such a kli sharis have the ability to be mekadesh? Interestingly, the Gemara is going to bring a raya from the lechem apanim. The lechem apanim, we have to remember, is a form of karban mincha, and the vizicha levona that go on the shulchan, they have a din of the kemitza of the lechem apanim. So do they ever pick up the shulchan to be mekadesh the kometz, to be mekadesh the mincha, so we don't know of them ever doing that. So maybe that's a raya, that a kli that's munach al gabei karka has the ability to be mekadesh. The Gemara is going to then tell us that both by the meipara and by dam karban, if you catch pachus mikidei haza'a in each of two kelim, forget about al gabei karka, what if you split the amount of dam that has to be caught, but it's caught in two separate kelim. But together it would be the proper shear. So do we assume that that would be mekadesh or not? So the Gemara is going to say that it's not mekadesh, and the Gemara is going to tell us that each time, once we're discussing the issue of sprinkling, that each sprinkling of dam is going to require a new dipping of the finger, that you can't use any of the leftover dam, and it's going to require wiping off the leftover dam from the previous sprinkling. That's going to be a requirement of the sprinkling. And the Gemara is going to have two attempted proofs that the blood remaining on your fingers is rejected and is not able to be used. Okay, so let's begin with we're right in the middle of a sugya. We are at the words V'neilaf mi bama. So again, we were suggesting, Rav had said that if a kemitza was done vipsul, you get a do-over. Zar shakama, it's a non-kohen, does the kemitza, he gets to do it over again. So he said, what's your great chiddush? Ben Becerra already taught us this, that a zar shakama can get a do-over. So the Gemara's first suggestion of what Rav's chiddush was, is that Ben Becerra did not tell us about a zar shakama, so you get a do-over. All Ben Becerra said in the Mishnah is, if your kamat besmal, a different psul, you do kemitza with your left hand, then you get to do it over. And you might have thought that Ben Becerra was only allowing you to do it again if the psul was a psul small. But if it was any other psul, Ben Becerra would not give you a do-over. It comes along Rav and says, now even a zar shekamatz, and nimela every other psul as well. Well, why would I have had such a havamina that only a psul of small you'd get a do-over if you do it with the left hand, but not any other psul? So the Gemara suggested, because small is not such a big psul, we find sometimes that it's hutar michlalo that you're allowed to do avodah b'smol. And Yom HaKippurim, the Kohen does one of the avodos b'smol when he's got to juggle a lot of different things when he's makti the ketores. So small is not such a big psul. So maybe dafka when it's b'smol, the Ben Becerra gives you a do-over. So now the Gemara says, okay, but if that's what separates it, if that's what makes small unique, is that it's hutar michlalo that we found a case where you could do it. Well, small shouldn't be totally unique. V'neilaf mi bama, the Gemara asks. So the first one line is kahuna, we have v'neilaf mi bama. Meaning, why does Rav say that small, that you might have had a Avamina that Ben Beseris only allows you to do over by small, because small is Sutra Michlalo, by Bama also. Zar also, he should allow you a do-over, because we find that a Zar is sometimes kosher as well. When is a Zar kosher? By a Bama. So anything that's Utar Michlalo, anything that's ever Mutar, is going to be, Rabbi Mesir is going to allow you a do-over. So I don't need Rav. I know from a Bama that you don't need a Kohen. So says Rabbi Chitema mi Bama lo yalfinan. Now maybe you'll tell me, come on, you can't learn from a Bama, because Bamas were only Mutar before there was Kahuna, before Aaron was designated as a Kohen. But we do find that we learn certain halachas from a bama, because we know the halacha is that if something had a psul yotze but then was brought up on the mizbeach, lo yered, you don't take it down from the mizbeach. How do I know that? Share yotze kasher b'bama, because yotze is kasher on a bama. So you see that we can learn from bama. So mele, we're back to our question. We should learn the psul of zar that you get to do over from bama, because we see that the psul of zar is not such a big deal. It's mutter by Obama. So what is Rav teaching me? Says the Gemara. Now the psul yotze, the fact that it's imal l'teret, is not really learned from Bama. Tana azos toras ha'ola samachlei. It's really learned from a pasuk. So it's not really learned from the Bama. The Bama is just something the Gemara mentions, like an easy way to remember it. But it's not. That's not the basis. And memela, we can't use Bama as the basis for zar being something that's Sutra Michlalo either, because the fact that the Zar was kosher on a Bama is because Bama's predated Kohanim. So that's why a Zar was Mutar Bama. You can't really learn anything from a Bama. So the point is that Rav's Chiddush within Ben Beseira is that you might have thought Ben Beseira only gives you a do-over if you did the Kemitzah B'small. Comes along Rav and says, even other Psule Kemitzah, even if a Kemitzah was done by a Zar, you get a do-over. So the time of Dashmin and Rav. Okay, so it's only because Rav told me this that I know that by all the psulim, Ben Beseira will give me a do-over. Halav hachi, hav amina b'shar psulim pasul Ben Beseira. But without Rav, by me just reading the Mishnah and using logic, I would have assumed that Ben Beseira is only machshir a do-over when the problem with your kmitza was small. But all the other psulim kmitza, you would not get a do-over. But is that really true? Vatanya, we have a braisa. Is that really a hav amina that I would have had? But I would have seen the brayse. So the brayse tells us from Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Omrim, Machshir Haya Ben Beseira Bekol Apsul in Kulan. So once you have such a brayse that already tells you that Ben Beseira would be Machshir, he would allow you to put the kmitza back and do it again by all the psulin. What's Rav's contribution to this conversation? V'tanya, and the brayse tells us V'kamatz Misham Mimakom Sharagle Azar Omdos, that one the Tanakama learns from the words V'kamatz Misham that the Kmitza doesn't dafka have to be in the northern part of the Azara, like normal Kachay Kachim. It could even be done where the Zar is allowed to stand. But Ben Beseira Omer, Minayin Shem Kametz B'Smol, Sheyachzir V'Yachzor V'Yikmotz V'Yamin. How do I know if you did a Kmitza B'Smol, you could put the Kmitza back, do a Kmitza again with your right hand? Tamal Omer, V'Kametz Misham, Mimakom Shem Kametz Kfar. He learned it from the words V'Kametz Misham. But guess what? The words V'Kametz Misham don't give any indication that the psul we're talking about is small. It could be about anything. So Ben Beseira, yes, he gives the example of small, but it could have been any of the psulim. V'Kivan Tekras Stamach Sivba, Mali Small, Mali Shara Psulim. So logically, once you know the source of Ben Beseira in allowing you to put the Kmitza back and have a do-over, it's obvious that Ben Beseira allows this for all of the Psule Kemitza, and therefore back to our question, what's Rav's great Chiddush that if a Zar does the Kemitza, that you could do it over again? Ben Beseira holds this by all the Psulin. So the first suggestion that Rav's great Chiddush was that I would have thought Ben Beseira only allows it B'Smol has now been rejected. Both things, we have a Braisa where Tanoim say explicitly that Ben Beseira allows it by every Psul, and because we have another Braisa that gives us the source of Ben Beseira, and the source of Ben Beseira is by every psul, it's not only by small. So what's Rav's great Chiddush? That a Zar that does the Kemitza, you get a do-over? So says Gemara, a second possibility, Elahaka Mashmal and Rav, Kamat va'afilu kidesh. You know what Ben Becerra allows? He allows, once you did the kmitza, to put the kmitza back. Not only once you did the kmitza, even if you did the kmitza and then put it in a kli shareis, you were mekadesh the kmitza, you could still walk it back. You could still undo that kmitza, put the kmitza back in. That's the great chiddush of Rabbi. I would not have known that from just reading Ben Becerra's shita in the Mishnah. La'fuke mehani tanayim. And that's against the shita, the following tanayim. Titania Rabbi Yossi ben Yossi ben Yosayan. Very interesting name. Rabbi Yossi, his father and his grandfather, a similar name too, Yosayan. Rabbi Yossi ben Yossi ben Yosayan. Rabbi Yehuda Hanachtom, also unusual name. Rabbi Yehuda Hanachtom Amru. Both of them said that Bamed Varmurum Shekamets Velokidesh Avokidesh Pasul. They both said that Ben Besei Rashita is limited to when you have not yet been Mekadesh Bekli. That once you're Mekadesh Bekli, it's too late. You can't walk it back anymore. So that's Rav's great Chiddush, that even after you're Kaddish Bekli, you can walk it back. That's the great Chiddush. V'ikada Amri Kamatz in Kidesh Lo. And others say, no, Rav's great Chiddush is the opposite. That only if you did the Kmitz of the Psul can you have a do-over. But once you've taken that next step and you were actually Makadish the Kmitz by putting in the Kli Sharis, you cannot do it over. And therefore Rav is telling me, Kiman Kahani Tanai. He's telling me that I should follow Rabbi Yossi ben Yossi ben Yosayan and Rabbi Yochanan Anach, I should follow those shitos that once you're ready, we're makadish in another kli, it's no good. Ula afuke mitanakama, as opposed to the Tanakama who disagrees with them. So says in our Masmer Nachman, Maikasavri Hani Tanai. Well, wait a second. What exactly is the chiddush over here? I did a kmitza bipsul, and then I was makadish that kmitza in the kli shares, that I get to do a do over even though I put it in the kli shares. What's the thinking over here exactly that's such a great chiddush? If you view a kmitza b'psul as an actual avoda, that it's a significant avoda, then avogav d'lava de matan kli. Then even if you don't put it into a kli, you already did an avoda psula, so it's already something that you can't walk back. And ik kmitza psulin lav avodahi, and if kmitza psulin is not considered an avoda at all, kev la matan kli mayhava. Why does it matter that you then put it in a kli? To put something in a kli sharis that's not a kmitza is a zero. So if a kmitza's psul is not an avoda, kmitza bizarre, be small, whatever the problematic kmitza is, if it's not an avoda, so then putting it in a kli sharis doesn't, it's not most of anything, it doesn't do anything. So why is it considered a greater chiddush that you get a do-over even after you put it in a kli sharis? After you put it in a kli sharis, if it was a zero, then putting it in a kli sharis is also a zero. So if the kmitza counts as something, then putting kli sharis doesn't make it any worse. It's already pretty bad. So hadam Rav Nachman liolam avoda. He really kmitza psula is an avoda, but v'lo gomra avodasa ada avoda matan kli. But it's one big avoda, and the avoda is only completed when you do a matan kli. So if you haven't yet put the kmitza in the kli sharis, you haven't yet done an avoda psula. But if you've but you're in the process, so you can abort the process and put it back in the original kli and do it over again. But if you've already put it into a kli sharis, so you've now completed the process of an avoda. Says Gemara, v'chima hadle komets l'duchtei tikdosh v'lifsol. So Gemara says, well, wait a second. Once you take the kmitza, what does it take to be makdish that kmitza, to be makadish that kmitza, to make that kmitza holy? What it takes is putting it into a kli sharis. Well, wait a second. What did Ben Becerra tell us to do? Take the kmitza, put it back in the original kli, and then do over. Guess what that original kli is? It's a kli shareis. So shouldn't the kmitza become kadosh as a kmitza when you put it back? You're not walking back the process. You're actually going forward by putting it back into the original kli, because now you're placing it into a kli shareis. So it says there are three possible answers. Number one, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Zosomeres, kli shareis ein mekad shenel midas. A kli shareis is only mekadesh when it's midas, when you have intention that it should be mekadesh. And over here, clearly, when you're putting the kmitza back into the kli, you're not trying to be mekadesh that kmitza. There's no das for kiddush. Hamidas mekadshin, but that implies that if you do have das, then it would be mekadesh. V'abaymine reish lakshmei Rabbi Yochanan, kli sharis mashi yikachu psulin l'chadchila likarev, v'amalein mekadshin. But didn't reish lakish ask Rabbi Yochanan, can kli sharis be mekadesh, something that's possible to allow it to be hukrav? And he said, no, kli Kli Sharis is not Makadesh, something that's possible, because there's no Das. Samalei, apparently, even when there is Das, it can't be Makadesh something that to be Hukrav. Samalei, in Makashin Likarev, Velv Makashin Lipasel. Yeah, it's not Makadesh to be, if it's a Psul, it's not going to be Makadesh to allow you to be Makrev, but it's Makadesh enough to count, to be a real Psul. So that's the that's answer number one. Again, why is it that when you put it back into the original Kli, why don't we just say that now that original Kli is itself a Kli Shari, so it's Makadish the Kemitza, so it's too late, you're not going to be able to do the Kemitza again, because it's not Makadish the Kemitza, since a Kli Shari is only Makadish when you do something Midas. Tosos points out that that's, that there seem to be stiras and sugyas throughout Shas, whether that's true, whether something happened, whether we assume Stama Midas or Stama Lomidas. When you do something, do we assume that that it's Makadish, even if you don't have explicit Das or not? So Tosos says something interesting. He says, based on context, you should be able to tell sometimes. He says, let's say you do it Belaila. So he says, if you do it Belaila, then we know that you have no Das to be Makadesh, because anything you do Stam Belaila is or Shalom Bismano is obviously not Das, meaning we assume that there's Das not to be Makadesh. So it's not that there's like this blanket idea that it's either always considered Midas or always considered Shalom Midas. Tosus just adds that nuance that context matters. This comes up in a number of poskim. There's a tshuva in the Marsha in Chelek Gimel Siman Lametes, where the Marsham was asked about whether you're allowed to erase. They used to, now we do, when we print Sfarim, we do computer printing, right? But it used to be that they would have to make these plates, and it would press down the ink, and that's how you would on the paper, and that's how they would make the Sfarim. Now the plates were just a bunch of backwards letters, right? That's how the letters came out the right way. So what if you have Shem Hashem on these plates, in backwards letters? So are you allowed to erase the backwards letters of the Shem Hashem that were meant to publish Sfarim? So the Marsham discusses the idea that maybe when you make a Shem Hashem, but you have no das to be Mekadesh the Shem Hashem, so you have no das that should have any Kedusha, maybe it doesn't have Kedusha, maybe your das plays a role. The Raya is, Gemara says, Sefer Torah Shekosvo Min, a Sefer Torah that's written by an Apikoros, even though it has the Shem, Yud, K, Vav, K, it has Shemos Hashem all over it, you're chayv to burn it. How can I burn it? How can I burn what is physically a Shem Hashem? No, because maybe the Kedusha of the Shem Hashem only comes together with das. So the Marsham says, and even if you disagree with that, and you say, Stama Midas, whenever you... But when it's backwards, that's obviously not Midas. You obviously don't have Das to be Mekadesh. Your Das was obviously only to just get it printed onto the paper, but not to be Mekadesh, the backwards lettering. Meaning, and he brings a Raya from this Tosfos, that when context should be able to provide a bigger picture over here. And you should know that that's clearly not considered Midas. Okay, back to our Gemara. So again, the Gemara's question was, when you take the Kemitza, Bipsul, and then you put it back into the Kli, like Ben Becerra says, to do it over again, when you put it back into the Kli, aren't you putting it into a Kli Shari? Shouldn't that itself be Mekadesh the Kemitza? So answer number two, Rav Amram Amar, about seven lines into the page, Rav Amram Amar, Kigon Sheikh Ziru Labisa Gedusha. When you put it back into the Kli was overflowing. It was a heaping Kli. So when you're putting it back, you're really putting it back on top of the walls of the Kli, because it's heaping. So it's never becoming Kadosh again in that Kli. Says Gemara, Mekami Techikamas. Well, then, how are you ever able to take the Kemitza in the first place? The Kemitza has to be taken from the inside of the Kli. It can't be taken off of a heaping pile that goes over the walls of the Kli. No, Elikon Shech Ziru Labisa Tfufa. It must be that it was exactly even, that the level of the Mincha in the Kli was exactly filled to the top, and that's where you're putting it back on. So when you put it back in, it goes over the walls of the Kli. V'kivin Tekamitzlei Avodei Gumo. Well, wait a second, if it was exactly even with the top of the Kli, when you originally took your Kemitza, shouldn't you be creating a hole in the Kli, right? A spot in the Kli, whereas now within the walls of the Kli, when you put the Kemitza back, isn't that where it's going, right back into that spot? No. Kimahadra legave demana gamadle. And therefore the Gemara asks, aren't you putting it right back in that hole that you made by taking it out in the first place? So the Gemara says, no. Kimahadra manachle adafna demana. Mimle v'nafal Mimela. No, when you put it back, what you do is you put it off to the side on the walls of the kli, and it never actually, and you don't put it back in the walls of the kli. Then you just shake the kli a little, and it just falls into the walls of the kli. Dinasa kimisha chziru kof. That is certainly not going to be mekadesh the komets if that's how it gets back into the walls of the kli, because that's like a monkey put it back in. Meaning, yes, when you take the kmitz and you put it into a kli sharis, it becomes kadosh, but it has to be a human being putting it into a kli sharis. It has to be a maisa that actually puts it into a kli sharis. There's no maisa over here because it's you're just putting it on the side and then it sort of just falls its way into the kli. That's not considered a maisa at all. There's an interesting shaila in the Marsham, different tshuva, actually same tshuva in the Marsham, where he discusses he discusses a number of shemus issues in that tshuva. It's in Chelet Gimel Simen Lamed Tes. He discusses they made like a microscopic Tanakh, where you had a it came with some sort of microscope or magnifying glass where you can then read it, but if you were to with the naked eye you couldn't see anything, and people would like keep it in their pocket. It was a shtick. I don't know, they would have they want to know, can you bring it into the bathroom? I mean, does that have a din of kisvei kodesh? That was the shaila of the Marsham. So at the time, okay, you know, like so don't buy it, you know, get a different gift when you go to Israel, buy a t-shirt or something, but it became very relevant because when you have disks and computer, you know, things saved on a computer that you don't see the ksav. So they use this marsham as a starting point of the discussion that it's not actual ksav, because to the naked eye it's not ksav, but there's a way to open it up and make it into ksav. But in the discussion he mentions that that when it comes to something that's printed, going into a Beis HaKisei without covering up, he said it could be Dafka Kisvei HaKodesh that are written Biyad Ubidyo, B'derech Ksiva, is there a problem to bring into a Beis HaKisei? He brings from a Rokech that a printing press is not considered a Ksav at all. It's only Midrabanan that you're not allowed to run it on Shabbos. It's not really called Kosev. It's not a violation of Kosev. But the Sheet of the Ram and Rabbeinu Yeruchim, which is quoted Magen Avraham, that that a tapestry on a talus or something will bring psukim lidei zilzul, because tzitzis are tashmishei mitzvah and there's no kedushas aguf, so that's why you're allowed to go with your tzitzis into a beis hakisei and to use your talus to cover your a person's nakedness. So how could kisvei atara, where it says mipi agvura, be in a makom zilzul? That's a bizei atara. So they apparently hold that even though it's not the derech ksiva regila, it's not the normal derech ksiva, still you're not allowed to go into the Beis HaKisei. And the same would be true with svarim and tfasim that they have with printed svarim. So says the Marsham, by svarim that are photocopied or something like that, maybe there's more reason to be makel. Why? He says because when a sefer is photocopied, you're not doing any maisa at all. You're just sort of putting it on the photocopy machine, and the photocopy machine is doing everything. And he compares it to what our Gemara says, that it's true, you're setting up a system where you know that the komets is going back into the kli, but you're not putting the komets back into the kli. You're putting the komets near the kli, and then it's going back into the kli on its own. So that's not called a maisa. So you suggest maybe it's not called a maisa, so maybe by kisvei hakodesh, it wouldn't give it the same kedusha either. This is a big discussion by a lot of things. The poskim discuss, you know, the person, there's an isser, a machlokes Rishonim, the Yisr cut off one's payas. The Yisr Daraisa, you're not allowed to cut off your payas. Machlokas Rishonim, is that only with a razor that you're not allowed to cut off your payas? Payas Hazaka, and it's for sure only with a razor, right? But what about payas Harosh, the payas of the head? Is that also only with a razor? Is that even with Misparayim or with anything else? So we pass in Shulchan Aruch that we should be Machmir, even though both payas are quoted, we should be Machmir, even with Misparayim. Even with scissors, we don't cut off the payas Harosh. So that's why it's not right for people to use, even to use a machine that has a scissor action to shave themselves bald. Sometimes a person's going balding and they think that it's like an insult to their manhood that they're going balding, so they have to do it on their own terms. So they have to shave their head. So that's not right. That's not proper. A person's not supposed to shave off their payos. But what about using a sam? What about putting on some sort of ointment that will memela burn up the, so it's, you're not actually, it's not a maisa that you're actually doing. So they discuss this. They discuss this sugya. You're doing something that later is gonna, you know, what else they discuss? When they, how did they write on the avanim of the choshen and the avanim of the ephod? How did they write the shemos of the shvatim? That they put the shamir worm on it and he etched its way through the, so that's how they wrote. So is that ksiva? Is that ksav? Meaning, how's that? So that's also part of the discussion. So it's an interesting discussion. It's a much, much bigger topic, but it's an interesting discussion, what we consider a maisa and what we do not consider a maisa. Obviously, it could be different for different mitzvahs, right? Certain mitzvahs could be that, or averos, that could be more maisa-oriented, and certain ones could be more result-oriented, where I don't care if you did a maisa, as long as you achieved a certain result. It's problematic. Okay, back in the Gemara. So Amalei Rabbi Yemalei Rabbi Zeira V'lukma Kigon Sheikh Ziru L'Klei Amunach Al Gabi Karka. I could give you a third answer, why it is that when you put the komets back into the original kli, it doesn't become kadosh. After all, the original kli is a kli sharis. You know what the answer is? Maybe you just keep the kli on the karka, and a kli sharis can't be makadish something on the karka. So why didn't we give that answer? El Shema Mina Komtsin Mikli Shal Gabi Karka. We see from there that you can take a kamitzi even from a kli that's on the karka. So Kanagata Bibaya Diyabayulan Rabbi Avim. This you've touched on, says Gemara, you've touched on something major about a kli on the karka. Is a kli sharis on the karka? Does it have the capacity to be mekadesh? And can you take a kamitza from a kli sharis on the karka? So the Gemara says, Rav Avimi tani menachos per Rav Chista. This shaila came up when Rav Avimi was learning menachos by his Rebbe Rav Chista. So a parenthetical statement, says the Gemara, what? Avimi learned menachos by Rav Chista? Avimi be Rav Chista tani? Vamar Rav Chista? Didn't Rav Chista once comment, kol vitavi bali me Avimi alada hashmaitza, that I once got such a zet from Avimi for something I said in learning? Meaning, Rav Chista is talking about Avimi, that Avimi was his Rebbe. And what was the issue? The issue was that there seems to be a stira, that when they're selling karka of Yisomim, how do you make sure you're getting a good price for it? So you can't just sell it to the first person who comes along and puts an offer. The Yisomim, they're helpless. You need to help them out. So there's a stira, whether you need to announce it for 30 days or announce it for 60 days. So, it depends how you're doing the advertising. If it's a constant, a day in, day out, you're announcing it in the shuk, then you only need 30 days. But if you're only doing Mondays and Thursdays, then you need to do 60 days. So that was the answer. And he didn't remember that answer, so he got such a zet. He got such a criticism. But the point is, though, who is whose Rebbe? Avimi is not learning by, should not be learning by Rav Chista. It's Rav Chista who should be learning by Avimi. So says Gemara, no, what happened was, Avimi mesechta isakra isakrale. Avimi had forgotten one mesechta. Vasal kamid Rav Chista lad kure gamre. And that's why he went to Rav Chista to learn it over again, because he went to his Talmud to teach it to him what he had originally taught. V'lishlach le v'lesi l'gabei. Yeah, but still, you're the Rebbe. You know, even Shivrei Luchos deserve kavod, right? So why do you go to the Talmud to learn? Let the Talmud come to you to teach it to you. So says Mar Savar Hachi Maseya Milsa Tvei. Unbelievable Musir. That he figured if he wants to learn well, he has to go to the Rebbe. As Rashi says, Mishum Yagati Umatzasi. That you have to put in a certain effort in your learning. So even though it makes sense, I'm listening and it seems so clear and so easy, it's not the same as actually like working through and learning, you know, maybe focusing and learning. When a person is focused, when a person puts in efforts, even ancillary efforts of walking to there, he's moser nefesh for it, that alone is, you know, when you act like a Talmud, you become a better Talmud, right? When you act like someone, so even though he was the Rebbe, by acting like a Talmud, we just had yesterday, Rabbi Teller was here. Rabbi Teller is a much bigger Talmud Chacham than you know, than people like me who we will come to the shir, but he sits there and acts like the biggest Talmud, right? I mean, that's why you're successful in learning. When you act like a Talmud, you become a Talmud. You become someone who's much more capable of absorbing the learning. So anyway, so Pagabir Rav Nachman, so Amalei Ketzat Komtzin, so they ran into Rav Nachman, he said, how do you do the Kemitza? Amalei Mikli Zeh, says Kemitza is like from this Kli. So from this Kli, what does that mean? I wasn't there. I don't see what he's pointing to. I remember when I first started recording shiurim, so one of the first shiurim I gave was about the makum of the peos harosh. So I kept on saying it's from here to here, and I got so many emails. We don't see you. We're just listening, right? So how does that mikli zeh, from this kli? So Rashi has to fill us in. What is he talking about? So he's a re'ei kli munach al gabe karka v'kamar kli zeh im shal kodesh ayroi l'kmitza. Oh, you want to know what kind of kli can you do kmitza? He pointed to a kli that was on the karka, and he says you can do kmitza from such a kli. Amalei, if he comes from a kli shal gabe karka, really you could take a kmitza from a kli that's al gabe karka. Amalei. The Magbele Kohen. Now the case is that the Kohen has to lift it up. So I meant from this kli, provided a Kohen were lifting it. Okay, Ketzan Mekadshin as a Menachos. How are you Mekadesh Korban Mincha? Amalei, Nosnel Kli Zay. You put it into this kind of kli, a kli shares. And he pointed to a kli on the karka. V'chi Mekadshin B'kli Shal Gavi Karka. You can be Mekadesh Korban Mincha in a kli that's on the karka. Amalei, no, the Magbele Kohen. I mean this kind of kli. If a Kohen lifts it up, Amalei Imkein Utsrachta Gimel Kohanim. Well, if that's the case, you're going to need three Kohanim. Why? Says Rashi. What are the three Kohanim? Shnayim lagbiya shnei kelim. The Korban Mincha has two klisharis involved. One where the Korban Mincha, the entire Mincha is, and one where when you take the kmitz out, you can put that kmitz into another klisharis. So you need one Kohen to lift up the first kli, one Kohen to lift up the second kli, and another Kohen to be doing the kmitzah. So it should require three Kohanim. Rashi writes, v'kohen echadein yachal lagbiya shnei kelim dena vod b'smol. You can't have one Kohen lifting up both Kalim and get away with two Kohanim because you can't do Avodah B'Smol. So each Kohen is going to have to lift with his right hand. Shittim Gvetzes disagrees. Shittim Gvetzes says, no, you lift up one Kli, they do whatever they need to do, they take the Kmitza from it, then you put it down, and then you lift up the next Kli, and they'll put the Kmitza into that Kli. Okay, but bottom line is, you should need more than one Kohen. Amalei, so he said, so what? So you need more than one Kohen. V'tei Tzricha, Yud Gimel, Ketamid, you can need 13 Kohanim like you do by the Karban Tamid. That's not a problem. So Eis Ve'zeh Klal, Kola Komitz Mosim. Kli. Anyone who takes a kmitza and puts it in a kli, or hamolich, hamaktir, or he does any of the other avodos, whether it's taking the kmitza, putting the kmitza in the kli, being molich the kmitza, being maktir, lechol davar shadarko lechol. If he has in mind that he's going to eat something chutz l'mekomo, chutz l'zmano, so he's going to make the carbon pistol, apostle pigle, magbia lo katani. Yet what doesn't it say? It never says anything about a kohen who's Magbia. It talks about four avodos. It talks about being komets, putting the kmitz into kli, being molich, being maktir. What about being magbia? Apparently, that's a critical part, according to what we're saying. So it says, "Maratana seder avodos, not good vol seder kohanim." Yeah, it's true you need a kohen to lift the kli, but it's not an avoda. And we're only mentioning things that are an avoda. We're not talking about how many kohanim you need. So, b'amin emid rav sheshes ma'al likmos mikli shal gabe karka. Can you take a kmitza from a kli that's on the karka? Amrei puchazi may avdin lagav. He says, go see what they do in the Heichal. Because what does it say about the Heichal? Arba Kohanim Nechlasin. It says about the Lechem Apanim that four Kohanim would enter. Shnayim Biyadam Beis Sedarim. Two of them each with six of the loaves in their hands. V'shnayim Biyadam Shnei Vezichin. And another two each with one of the Vezichin Levona that they have to bring by the Shulchan. V'arba Makdimin Lefneim. There are four other Kohanim that go into the Heichal before them. Shnayim Litol Shnei Sedarim. Two of them to take each of them six loaves off of the shulchan, ubeis little beis vezichin, and the other two to take the two vezichin levona off of the shulchan. Vilu magbia es shulchan lo katani. Never says anything about anybody lifting up the shulchan. But if you need the klei sharis to be lifted in order to be yotze the korban mincha, so then we should need an extra kohen over there. So it says more. Well, lav ramatasim seder avodos nakat achanami seder avodos nakat. Maybe that's not a raya because we're not mentioning every Kohen, we're mentioning those things that are avoda. So to put the lechem on the shulchan, to put the levona on the shulchan, that's an avoda. We don't have to mention the guy, the Herculean Kohen who lifts up the shulchan. Says Marana Midami, Hasam lo nachas l'minyana de Kohanim, hacha nachas l'minyana de Kohanim. No. Previously, when we were talking about the avodas of being komets and being molech and being matir, all that stuff. So we were discussing avodas, but we never mentioned a number of Kohanim. But over here, we dafka say four Kohanim enter. That makes it sound like we're not only discussing avodas, we're discussing how many Kohanim are involved. And yet it doesn't say anything about anyone being magbia. Im Isa listi magbia. If you really need the kli to be lifted off the ground, it should have mentioned that kohen el shemamina, komtsin mikli shal gabe karka shemamina. So we see that you could take a kmitza from a kli that's resting on the ground, and the raya is from the shulchan. Amarava, pshituli komets mikli shal gabe karka, shekin matzin. I understand understand that that's a perfect raya, that you're allowed to take kmitzah from a kli that's al gabe karka, because that's what they did by the siluk bazichon, when they would take off the bazichon levona. That's the parallel to a kmitzah, and they would do it from a shulchan, which is al gabe karka. And not only that, mekadshin mincha bikli sha'al gabe karka, shekin matzinu besidu bazichon. And I also know that you can be mekadish the korban mincha into a kli that's sitting on the karka, because that's how they would put everything on the shulchan in the first place. But here's my shaila. Bai Rava, kiddush kometz mai. What about after you take the kmitza out and you then put the kmitza in that second kli shares? Does that second kli shares need to be lifted off the karka? Do we say mimincha yalfinanla? We learn it from a mincha, from the other avodas of a mincha, which it's allowed to be on the karka, omidam yalfinimla. Or should we learn it from avodas hadam, where the dam has to be put into a klisharis that's not on the karka? So hadar pashto midam yalfinimla. He then said, you know what? That we learn from dam. To be mekadesh the komets in the second kli, that has to be into a second kli that is not al gabe karka. Says Maram, yom Rava hachi, does Rava really hold that way? Vayitmar komets shecholku b'shnei kelim. If you have a komets it's divided into two separate kelim, meaning instead of putting the kmitza into one kli, you divide it into two parts, put it in two separate kli sharis. Rav Nachman Amareinu Kadosh Rava Amar Kadosh. Rav Nachman says it's not Kadosh. Rava says it is Kadosh, it works. But if Rava really holds that what you do with the kmitza, the halachos of what you do with the kmitza are derived from what works for dam, v'yemisa leilef midam. Well, certainly if you take dam of a carbon and you split it into two separate kelim, it is no good. So why would Rava say that it's okay to take the kmitza and put it into two separate kelim? Hadabe Rav Mei, says Mar, Rav must have changed his mind somewhere along the way. Says Mar, v'dami nolan d'lo kadosh l'chatan. But we made a major assumption over here, that if you put dam in two separate kelim, that it's not going to be mekadesh. Well, where do we know that from? So d'tani Rav Tachlifa ben Shol, kidesh pachos mikdei azah b'kli zeh, upachos mikdei azah b'kli zeh, lo kidesh. When it comes to the mechatos, the efer para aduma that gets mixed with water, so if you're mekadesh less than the amount that you need to do the sprinkling in one kli, and less than the amount that you need to do the sprinkling in another kli, it doesn't work. And then we raise the shayla, but what about dam? What about when you need to sprinkle dam if you split it in two separate kelim? By para aduma, is it halacha l'moshe misinai? You can't make any tushla, you can't make any limud from halacha l'moshe misinai? Odilma hasa maitaima d'chsiv v'tavol b'mayim. Or maybe by para aduma, it's because the Torah used the term v'tavol b'mayim, so it's got to be b'mayim. It says not b'mayim, b'mayim. All of the water has to be in one place. So achanami ksiv v'taval badam, and therefore all the dam has to be in one place. V'itmar amar b'zreka amar b'lazar af b'dam lo kidesh. That dam split into two separate kelim is not going to be mekadesh. That's the source. Amar avatani nami achi v'taval v'lo maspig. It says v'taval, you have to dip your hand into the dam, but you can't just sponge it out, like squeeze on the, you know, to pull it off of the walls, the dam that's stuck to the walls of the kli. Badam sheb dam shir tevila meyikaro, that the kli had to have the full shear of dam initially. It couldn't have been in two separate kelim. Min adam shebinyan. We'll have to see what that means. That's the third drasha. So says Mar on the first two drashas. V'israch l'mikhtav v'taval, v'israch l'mikhtav badam. These kaz rachmana v'taval, had it only said v'taval av amin av gavdol kibel shir tevilos meyikaro, I would think that, yeah, as long as right now when I access this dam, I'm being tovel my finger in the dam, even though initially it was in two separate kelim, but I have now combined them in the same kli, and now I can access the dam by a regular tevila, I would think that that's okay. That's why kas rachmana badam. That's why I need the other pasuk to say badam, that no, even initially it had to be in one kli. V'kas rachmana badam, av amin afilu maspig. And if it just would have said badam, I would say, yeah, initially it has to be in one kli, but you don't have to do an actual maisa tevila. You can pull it off of the side walls of the kli. So kas rachmana v'tavel. That's why it has to say v'tavel. But what's that third drasha? Min adam shebe'inyan lemu'ute mai. So Amrava lemu'ute shirayim shebe'etzba. It's coming to tell you that whatever dam is left on your finger from a previous sprinkling cannot be used. You need to clean off your finger in between. Misayele Rabbi Lazar dam shirayim shebe'etzba psulin. And this is a raya to Rabbi Lazar that shirayim shebe'etzba are pasul. So the Gemara is going to have two attempted proofs that blood that remains on the finger is kosher, but both of these rayas are going to to be rejected. We'll only get to do one of them today. Amrei Ravim Baravad L'Rava. Amri Tamideich. Amrav Amram. Tanya Hayamaza V'Nasna V'Nitza Hazaa Miyado. If let's say a person was sprinkling the dam and some of the dam came from his hand and hit his beged, Im Ad Shalohiza. If it hit his beged before he completed the Hazaa, so then it's still considered dam chatas. So therefore, Talon Kibus. The beged is going to require Kibus Begadim. Mishehiza. But if he's already finished the Hazaa, when the dam sprinkles onto his beged, splashes onto his beged, ain't Talon Kibus. Then he does not require kibbutz begadim because it's no longer dam chatas. So my lav ad shelo gamar hazaaso umi shagamar hazaaso shramina d'shrayim shabetz b'ksherim. When we say ad shelo iza and misha iza, doesn't it mean before he finishes all of the hazaos and after he finishes all of the hazaos? But the point is that he, as long as some of the dam hit his beged before he finished all of the hazaos, even though it came from his finger, it's still going to be considered dam chatas. So you see the dam that's remaining on his finger is still kosher for hazaa. Says more lo. Ad shlo yatsa miyado hazaa ton kibus. From shiatsa hazaa miyado v'nitza mashenishar ain ton kibus. Ad shlo gamar and misha gamar means until he finishes that. Meaning, if his finger before it did that hazaa that he was doing at that moment, if it hit his baguette, that's done. Once he did that hazaa, and then the blood that's remaining on his finger hits his baguette, that would not be considered dam, and that would taka not require kibus. So the dam remaining on the finger is still not considered dam, and it has to be cleaned off before he does the next hazaa. We'll pick up with the second raya Bez Hashem tomorrow. Oh no. I think I just accidentally erased the whole shear.